Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
So, praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to start our series of Moses. Can't wait for this. It's going to be great for us. And do dedicate these next 8 weeks just to come in, and it's going to transform you. It's going to transform me as I prepare and others do to preach and teach on this. It's going to change all of us. So I'm so excited. And Adam's going to get up and read from... Well, actually, I can't remember where I texted out. It's from Exodus 1 to 4, yeah, that you can read that and you get the story. But we're going to do an abbreviated version that actually you'll find in Hebrews 11. Over to you, Adam. Yeah?
Okay, morning, everyone. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Praise God.
I think that was the right bit, Adam.
He was.
Okay. I might be a bit loud. So we see we're going to call it the life of Moses in today's world. And so what we see at this point in the history of Israel, we see that God's people were in Egypt. If you remember, it started off with Jacob and his family, Joseph, and all the story of Joseph, where he ended up in Egypt, in jail, accused of stuff that he didn't do. And then through that, he was raised up to be the second in command of the whole of the nation. And he brought his whole family in. But at that time, there was only about 70 people that came in. But a few hundred years later, what we see is that nation had grown mightily, powerfully. They were a huge nation, but they were slaves. They were slaves. They were despised by the Egyptians, hated them, made them work harder all the time. And the thing is that God had seen it all. He'd seen the oppression of his people, and God hated it as he looked down. And all of a sudden, we start to see God go, okay, now I'm going to get involved. And what when we're looking at the life of Moses, what we're going to see is how Moses reacted to God, how God reacted to Moses, how the people reacted. And in that, we get caught up in the story. We start to see ourselves in the story. And we start to learn lessons for this life that we're living in today. So it's not just about Moses. This whole story was acted out in real life and then written down for us today so that we could learn more and more about God for ourselves, each one of us. And just imagine if you were to catch what God is saying for you, like Moses did, hear him, what he says, and step into what he's calling you to do. Imagine the adventures that you could have with him. For Moses, he was at the start of a birth of a nation. Okay, we probably won't be any of that for any of us, but each one of us has got a story that God wants to work through in our lives. If we would just hold our hands up and say, God, it's over to you now. Use me as you will. And that isn't an easy place to get to, I can tell you. And if you've been there before, like Dan who just got up, you might need to have to do it again and again as we get closer and closer to him. But God wants that for us. And God is calling us today. As we look at these Old Testament people, these saints, were ordinary people that God just got hold of. There was nothing special about David. He was just looking after a few sheep. Nothing special about Joshua.
He met Moses. Nothing special about Moses, as we're going to find out at first, until God got hold of the man, Abraham. He was an idol worshipper, and then God got hold of him and transformed him. And by faith, God wants us to start trusting him, to learn from him. Because the truth is, we're thinking, yeah, but at least we're not slaves like Egypt, Israel were in Egypt. I would question that, guys. I would question it a lot and say, really, are you a slave in today's society? Because slavery is about just as much today as it was then. No, God wants us freedom for captives, release of the prisoners, and to live a deeper, more meaningful life for him and allow him to work his purpose in our lives. Are you up for that, church? Come on, you know it's going to happen. Are you up for that, church? He might have heard that one, so there we go. So what we see God doing at this time, it looks like nothing's happening. Well, how can you let your people be slaves if you're God? But God was growing his family. You know, they were working, they had food, it was okay. He's growing his family. That's exactly what had happened. But they multiplied so much that Pharaoh at the time got a bit scared. He got worried and fearful that they might uprise and take over. They might fight against Egypt and defeat them. And so what he said was, he went to the midwives and said, look, when they're giving birth, the ladies, if it's a boy, I want you to just chuck them into the Nile. I want to annihilate them, take them out. But what we see with the midwives is, the midwives were fearful of God. And they knew that this wouldn't please God. This isn't what God would want. And so they didn't do what Pharaoh said. They hid them and they let them run off before anyone else got there. And Pharaoh was really annoyed. And he came up and said, why are you letting them live? And the midwives said, look, these Hebrew women are real strong. And they give birth so vigorously, they give birth before we even get there. And so with that, what we see is God blessed those midwives. Yeah, he blessed them for it. And he said, well, you will have families because of what you've done. Now, the thing is this, is that we've all got pharaohs. We've all got people, things, situations that try to stop us doing God's will, or try to encourage us to do things that are against God's will. But when we stand up for what is right, what we know is right in the Bible, what we know God is asking us to do, then by coming here today, the blessings of God will start to come on your life. Again, with Danny earlier, Danny and Nick, his wife there, started to come in again. Already they're starting to see blessings on their lives. That's what happens. And so wherever you are in life, whatever job you've got, whatever is going on, it's as we put God first, we can expect these blessings, this richness of God working in our lives. And that's what God wants for us over this time. There's real vast volumes of blessing that God wants to pour out on us and see us just joyful Christians by this time next year, not coming out of lockdown, looking out, I mean, do I, don't I, but just living in that river and swimming in blessing after blessing. And we see it already, you know, with people like Sam, although he is a very annoying person at times, you know, God has blessed him with a new promotion at work. He's, you know, he's getting about a bit now. So it's a lift up for him. And then we see Adrian, who God has blessed. You know what, guys? I'm not talking about everyone's got to be a millionaire, because it isn't all about money. It really isn't. But Adrian is in a job that he's passionate about. He loves to work with children. I've got no chance of doing anything like that. My patience level is just not that. It's a lot better than it was. But Adrian is passionate about it, and God's placed him in that job. He can work out his passion. We see Beverly, I think she's about today. You know, put God first, and now she's a nanny. Let's give her a round of applause. She's got that job. Perhaps we'll hear about that next week. It's a blessing as we see Delvina and Esther and Vicky rising up to be a new worship band. It's the blessings of God. And as we see Tony and those guys from Basildon hooking into us online when we couldn't meet like this. And we say, God, what do you want to do with them? And God said, I want to plant a church. I want to plant a church with them. And now look at it. They're being blessed. These things are starting to move forward. We've got an alpha course going now, and it's real fun. And so what I'm saying is this, is that with the midwives, who look at them and they just said no to the world and yes to God, and the blessings come. And that's exactly what God wants for each one of us. But Pharaoh, so when you like that, whatever's trying to stop you do God's will, whether it's people, whether it's situations, you know, they don't give up. So Pharaoh didn't give up. He commanded them again, I want you to kill the baby boys. And so Moses was born, and his mum made a basket, made it with pitch and that, so that it wouldn't sink. And you can imagine what it felt like. When he got too old, I guess his crying got too loud, she had to put him in the basket, and then came the day where she had to put Moses into the river. And imagine, just imagine as a mum, what that would feel like. You know, this isn't just a story, this actually happened. Imagine watching your little baby go down the river and you think, I don't even know what's going to happen to them. I don't know where they're going to end up. Where Moses is going to end up. And her sister, Moses' sister, couldn't handle it either. She had to go and look. She had to go and see what happened to the little basket. This is my brother. This is my brother in the Nile. What's going to happen? Is there alligators going to get him? Whatever. I don't know. But then amazingly, at the same time, Pharaoh's daughter, was there having a swim. She was just swimming at the same time. And as she was swimming, she saw the basket. She saw Moses' basket there. And she cried out to her servant, go and get the basket. So the servant went and got the basket. And as they opened the basket up, there's little Moses crying his eyes out in there, not knowing what's going to happen, away from his mum. And then at the same time, Moses' sister cries out and says, comes over and says, what is it? Do you want me to get a nurse from the Hebrew women to look after the child? Because as they saw the child, Pharaoh's daughter turned around and loved the child and knew that she wanted to keep the baby, not to let it perish in the water by drowning. There's Moses' sister. Do you want me to get someone to look after him and bring him up? And she said, yes, go and get someone. So Moses' sister went and got the mum of Moses to come and look after Moses. And not only that, as we see in the story again, Exodus 4:1-4, we see that actually Pharaoh's daughter agreed to pay for Moses' mum to bring him up. So he provided. And that's what I'm going to say. Do you think it was by chance that Pharaoh's daughter was swimming in the Nile at the same time? Or do you think it was just by chance that the sister was there and that she was able to run over there? It must have been a fearful thing. She could have perhaps lost her life for that. But then Pharaoh's daughter, her heart was given over. And do you think it's by chance that the mother was able to bring up her own child and actually get paid for doing that? It's not by chance. You see, what we see was God was looking after them all along. And that's the same with me and you. It's that God is at work behind the scenes looking after us. If we would just look to see what he is doing with faith, look to see what God is about, we'll see him there. And he's always working to do us good, even if it's not an easy time, even if it's a massive struggle, something good is going on. Because, you see, as Moses was living in a broken world, and it was tough, so we live in a broken world. Everything is broken. Yeah? Society is broken. We are broken. Every person, every business is broken. Politics, it's all broken. And it's hard living down here. There are dangers down here. There are trials and there are difficulties. That's what it is to live in this life. We're not made for this. We're made for eternity in heaven that is nothing like this at all. Nothing like it. But you see, it's the struggles in life that shape us. You know, Moses was born in a really tough time. Imagine that, almost being snuffed out before he was born. It was that bad. But I chat to many people, and many people have said to me that, you know, I've had this happen in my life, I've had that happen in my life, and but you know, I wouldn't change anything because what has happened has made me who I am. And so the tough stuff in your life and my life, if you look back, you'll see that that is the very thing that made you who you are. And so God knows what he's doing. He doesn't want any of us to suffer, but he will use it for his good. And he's shaping us for all eternity. Can I hear an amen to that, guys? You see, it's being aware of this stuff that allows us to walk into life, not expecting this hunky-dory, life is a breeze. Anyone who says that is a liar, all right? Because nobody has it that way. Life is tough, but knowing it's going to be tough allows us to keep the joy of God in our heart and say, okay, God, what are you working on me right now? Whether it's anger or jealousy or anything else like that, God wants to work that stuff out of us so that we shine like a star for all eternity. That's what God's up to. And so we see here that Moses, at this time, he must have felt real good. You know, imagine yourself being, try and picture it today, waking up as Moses in this wonderful bed with bed sheets on that, priceless, getting served whatever breakfast he wanted. He had the top education that there was, and apparently the Egyptians were the wisest people on earth at the time. They were by far the most advanced nation, and he was the top of the tree with that. You know, every luxury was his. He was a powerful person. He grew up with massive position and unlimited prospects. And he could do what he wanted with whoever he wanted, when he wanted, and I'm sure he did before it got to him. Something was going on inside, like it does to us when we start moving towards Christ and living, where we start to realize there's something else in life. I can't understand it. I somehow know that I'm destined for more than what this world has got to give me. Whatever I aspire to, whatever this world can give me, there's something more. I don't understand it. And Moses would have remembered what his mum said, that you're not an Egyptian. This is what happened. As he grew up, she would have told him, this is what happened. You're going to be in the palace, but actually you're a Hebrew. That's your identity. And it's the same with us, guys. You know, Moses had the choice. We're going to look at that. You know, are we going to live for this world or our true identity? And the day came for Moses in 12:4, where it says this, that by faith, when in Hebrews 11:4, that is, by faith, when Moses grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused it. He chose to say no, to leave behind the riches and the power and the ability to do whatever he wanted when he wanted to do it. And he said, no, I've seen the futility of it. It hasn't kept me happy. It hasn't taken me where I thought it was going to be. And I've just got this sense that I need to be part of my people. I'm part of a bigger thing, a bigger story, something that somehow I know that is going to go off into all eternity. And God says that he's put eternity into every one of our hearts. So we will start to know that inside. There's something, there's a calling that this world just cannot feed. And so imagine that, you know, that moment for Moses, all the riches. Do I have that? Do I go for that with Egypt and all the sin that goes with it? And he said, no, I'm going to go for my identity with God's people. It's where I belong. That's where I need to be. You know, there's no money there. There are obscure people, despised by many. You know, there's not many of them. But I don't care. I've got to do it. I feel this in my heart. I can't live for something that is just going to be burned up in flames one day. That is not going to satisfy my soul. I need to be with God's people. This was the choice. Something greater. Something bigger. And it's the same choice for us today, guys. That's where this story's going. You know, we're in Christ now. We have a new identity. We're sons and daughters of the living God, and we have the same choice. Are we going to choose Egypt? Are we going to choose to try to live for everything that this world would give us if we just give this world our life? Is that what we're going to do? Or are we going to make that choice to be true to who we are, who God has made us to be, knitted us together in his mother's womb, and then we accepted Christ into our hearts. His power came and touched us and transformed us and made us new. Are we going to live out our life in God, God's plan for us unfolding, and be part of his world? Paul said this, that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You see, Moses fought it. He fought it all the way. He even said, I can't even speak properly. God, why me? And what happens if they don't accept me when I go to ask them to release your people? He doubted all the way, but in the end, he was fighting God in the end. He said, okay, God, I'm with you. I'm going to follow you. You still fighting God, guys? Something in your life you just don't, you know what it is. Maybe a job. Maybe something you give your life to. But you're just fighting God. He's saying, I've got so much for you. And he can't give it to you because you're just crowded out by the things of the world, the riches and the drawings of this world entices us in so easily. But then in verse 25, we see that Moses said, no, he turned his back on the fleeting pleasures of sin. Why does it say fleeting pleasures? Fleeting means it's just for a moment. You know, when you get out there and do what you know you shouldn't be doing, it's fleeting. It's momentary. It's for a night. It's for a day. It's for a short season, and then it's gone. Fleeting, fleeting. We're here for a moment, and then we're gone. Like a blade of grass is alive today, gone tomorrow. So will our life be. Fleeting pleasures of sin. But then why pleasures? Because the point is pleasures. Sin is pleasurable. We enjoy it, but actually it does us no good at all. It's actually toxic for the human soul as we do that. It will kill you inside. You know, when I come to know the Lord many years ago, before I came to know the Lord, I used to sleep around a lot and many other sins as well. But again, this feeling inside, I had a new relationship with God. I knew that the living God had come to live with me. And what I did before, it didn't feel the same. And I didn't feel the same afterwards either. The next day, I'd feel terrible. And there came a point at which I had to give it up. There's no way I'm going to go and sleep around anymore. My relationship with God meant more to me than that momentary whatever happened. I had to give it up. And then there was fighting I gave up. And then there was other stuff that I gave up. And it was a real transition moment for me. I had to have a new mindset. I didn't live for that stuff anymore. I didn't laugh at them jokes anymore. Now I'm living for something else. I'd found something else. There was so much better for me. So much better than this life of living it and feeling terrible the next day, thinking I'm never going to do this again. And then by the weekend, I'm at it again. No. For me, it was over. But a real big transition time. It didn't happen overnight. Bit by bit, God worked that stuff out of my system. And so it was a transition time for Moses. Change of mindset, change of life. Everything changed for him to step into the unknown. He didn't know what it would be like, but he knew he had to be there. And you see, church, it's a transition time for us as well. Because I'll let you know something that is going on around the world. After lockdown, we knew church wasn't going to go back to what it was before. We knew that that would happen. But what has happened is that lockdown and COVID has exposed the church in the West for what it is. It hasn't worked. You see, what happens is we win people out of the world. We bring them into church, give them a job to do, count the numbers of bums on seats. Then we've got a bit of tongues, we get a healing, and then we get the people to go to group during the week. Yes, we've got success. And lockdown has proved that wrong. Because Jesus didn't say do that. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Guys, Adam asked a real question yesterday. And I'm going to come on the back of that. You say, if the first thing that God called us to do is be fishers of men, how many fish have you caught in the last year? How many fish have you caught in the last 5 years, 10 years? And we go back 100 years into as the church is emerged as it is. And it isn't good, guys. It isn't. And so God is calling us now to step into the unknown, to start to make disciples that make disciples. We've got a way we want to do that. Very simple, very fun. It involves getting people into the Bible. But we've got to do it. God's calling us to raise up leaders, raise up people, raise up everybody so we can lead others to faith, to make them disciples. That's what it's all about. We went to a meeting yesterday called the Upper Room, and it was alive. It was alight with God, absolutely flooded with the Spirit, red hot passion coming out. And this is what God is doing amongst us. And that will be open to others, I'm sure, as we go along. And it's just a fantastic thing. But it's a new thing. Me, Duncan and Andy planned it a few months ago. We never thought it would catch like it has, but it's an amazing thing. But it's a new thing. We've never planted a church before as the World Church. What is that going to look like? I don't know. You know, we're going to look at the New Testament. That's what we've looked at. What did it look like for them? We've started group nights down there. We've done Alpha, you know. But what else will happen? We don't know yet. We're working our way bit by bit through that. I'm still going to be overseeing this one and that one for the foreseeable future. That's how it will be. That's what God's called me to do. But it's by faith stepping into something new. What I do know that is God has spoken. If there's one thing you know about me, if I feel that God has spoken, that's it. I can't be swayed. It's like, and I hold on. And God has said there's going to be two flourishing churches that come out of this. He showed me them two trees with not a lot of leaves on, but they're going to come and they're going to flourish. And in the end, they was more beautiful than all the other trees. And that's probably because I was looking at them. It's a bit like a dad looking at your children. You always think yours are the best looking ever, don't you? Yeah. But it was full of leaves and they looked like they were dead. And so God is calling us into something new. The danger is that we try to do it the old way. Be satisfied with more people. Be satisfied with a little healing and someone gets, ooh, God touched me, or whatever. Yeah, it's not enough. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Go and make disciples. And so that's where we're dedicated to. We don't want to go back to the old way. God is calling us to renew our minds, have a new mindset as we walk into the future. Not scared of it, but look at Moses. A whole nation opened up because of him. God is going to open up many doors through us. There will be other churches coming out of this church because it's in our DNA, guys. It's certainly in mine, and that was really surprising to me. Never thought I would be that. But I love that stuff. And so we're called to have a new mindset. Are you ready for that? It's just not easy, guys. Tell your story. In 1908, Henry Ford produced the first assembly car. Okay, cars have been available for ages, but just for the elite rich. But now all of a sudden, Henry Ford made it available for everybody. But people didn't even understand what a car was. All they understood was horses and what made horses work, and they pooped and you feed them, and that's about it. So when they're describing a car, they're talking about this thing that's so powerful, it's 20 horsepower. That's what the first car on the assembly line was, 20 horsepower, to help people understand what a car was, a very powerful machine. But cars were the future. People were stuck with horses, but horses were on the way out for transport and what we do cars. The newness was coming in. The problem is this, is that there were no roads built at the time. There was only horse tracks. There was no mechanics at the time, only ironmongers. There were no petrol pumps at the time, only feeding troughs. Perhaps we should go back to horses, guys, eh? You know, Chris Valentine, I'm sure he wasn't the first time one. I just recently listened to his podcast on this. It was great, you know. I'm sure that it came from others. It's a transition time. They had to embrace the future before they knew what it was really going to look like. Well, Moses didn't have a clue what it was going to look like coming out of a palace, living with the Hebrew people. No money, nothing, despised. What's it going to look like? But he did it. And God is calling us into that new future. There's no clear roads. You know, there's no mechanics in place for what we're going to do. You know, the feeding troughs that we have might change a little bit. But God is calling us to make disciples, guys, that will make disciples. God is calling us to make new communities of God, new communities Him. God is calling us on a mission with Him, to be on a mission with Him. Faith, we are a people of faith. And if we're not stepping out in faith, what does that make us? Just like everybody else. No, God is calling us onto that. And I, for one, I'm so excited about what God is going to be doing. Just to see it starting to unfold. You know, the upper room was a little conversation. And now look what it is. This Basildon new community that God is growing is just a few people at the minute. That's all it is. Having a meal, talking about Jesus. That's all we're doing. Look and see what happens with that in the future. The World Church here, few people. This place will be packed at some point in the future. And there will be other communities that grow out of here. But during them days, Israel were in slavery. And they were suffering oppression. And the burden and cruelty got even worse as Moses stood up. But you know, chapter 2:25, it said this, God knew. Out of all of it, when I'm reading it, all of a sudden it jumped out of me. You know, that's how God speaks to us as we read the Bible. God will somehow speak. And it was like, wow, God knew. God knew. He saw everything. He saw the abuse. He saw the injustices of it all. And God hated it, just like we hate going through it. He hates seeing His people go through that. But the time came for Him to step in. But you see, today we really can be slaves of today's society. You know, some are so comfortable at home. I was talking to an elder of a church. Said, I've got so, not this one, I've got so used to being at home. I don't, and running everything from my computer indoors. I really don't want to have to go out again. That was an elder. Struggling in that, in locked in that slavery of self in there and fear of outside. Or maybe you're slaves of being can't be bothered land. You know, you're on TV all the time. That you're engrossed in the internet. You're on your little iPhones all the time, 24 hours a day, every 5 minutes you're in there. I struggle with that. I do loads of my work from it and I have to have time without it. But it's a slavery that keeps you away from God. Maybe some of you have got two jobs, three jobs. And you're a slave to money, slave to getting more. I want more of this world. And God is saying, oh, I want to free you up from that. Or maybe you've been suffering, maybe physically, mentally, particularly over this time. And it's been such a hard time. I know that mentally I've really struggled through particularly the end of lockdown and even coming in to freedom again. It's been a real difficult struggle, and I think so many people are in that place. God knows. That's where I'm going with that. God knows you've been struggling. Psalm 27:13 said, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. And wait for the Lord. Because in the end, he steps in. We've just got to wait for that time, guys. So I'll say it again. Be strong and take heart. We see that so many times in the Bible. You are Christians. Christ is in you. Be strong, guys. Be strong and take heart. Don't be wimps in the world. No, I'm strong in the Lord. He loves me. He cares for me. He's got a plan for me. He's got a purpose for me. He loves me every day. It doesn't matter how good or bad I've been this week or whatever's gone on. He loves me. And it will never change. He loves me more than I could ever know. That will strengthen your heart. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. And then suddenly in Moses' life, can't do it all. Suddenly, one day, Moses was just going about his ordinary life. You know, that's how often it happens. You know, when Jesus said, go and make disciples, he didn't say go and do something fancy pants or special. Just go about your daily life and have little conversations with those you meet. Every person in your life and my life now is put there for us to make friends with and introduce Jesus to. Every person, no one's not. Whether they accept him or not. But suddenly, here we see Moses now going about his work. And he looks at a tree, and I love looking at trees. I've got to tell you, I spent my childhood in amongst the trees of Langdon Hills. Absolutely beautiful there. But then one day, one of them went, poof, it came alight. And there's a fire coming out of a tree. And as Moses looked, it wasn't getting consumed. And then all of a sudden, a voice came out at me, the voice of God. Moses, Moses, take your sandals off, for this is holy ground that you stand on. Wow. God spoke to him. God spoke to him. He said, I've seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their prayers and I've come down to deliver them. Wow. This changed everything. For Moses, how could he go back to being the same again? It was an absolute transforming moment, a life-changing, burning bush moment where God spoke clearly to him. He understood it, and everything changed from there. But let me say to you today, guys, that God still speaks to us today. He still speaks. Have you had your burning bush moments? Yeah. I remember my first one, sitting in the kitchen, and I'm sitting there with a phone, and I'm doing business. I looked up into the corner, and I saw something. I believe it was an angel, but I don't know. But all of a sudden, this power came upon me, and all of a sudden, I had this desire for more. No longer was I happy chasing money and females or whatever. It held nothing for me anymore. I had a deep desire to make something more of my life. A dissatisfaction was birthed in me. A hunger was in me now to follow the Lord, to do whatever he wanted me to do. But this life, I was done with it. I didn't care whether the business worked. I didn't care about anything else. It was just, God, I just want what you want for me in life. And then that was a life-changing moment for me. The second one was I had a dream once, and I actually heard the voice of God, an audible voice of God. Not everyone gets to hear that. Some do. But he said to me, let the lambs call me by name. And he gave me the ability to hear it, because if I hadn't He hadn't changed my hearing. Not only would it have blown my ears apart, it was that powerful. If he raised his voice, I knew the earth would split. It was the weirdest thing ever. It was so powerful. But let the lambs call me by name. What does that mean? He wanted a church built where people would be accepted and loved and cared for who they are, regardless, and to know him as the loving Father, not this religious, angry God that beats everybody up. No. And that's where this church plant came from. And then the two trees in the garden this year, no leaves on them. And God said, no, they're going to come. They're going to come. A few weeks ago, we had 17 people in here. Now look at it, many more. And there's going to be more coming. That the trees will grow their leaves. Two, though, not just one. We're multiplying, not just one. What about you? What about your life-changing moments? When God has spoken to you clearly, your burning bush moments, what did he say to you? If you haven't had one, you probably haven't realized it. Yeah. Ask him for more. Say, God, I know you're alive. What have you got for me? And wait. He will speak to you. This is our God, guys. This is our God. Second question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And so, God, can we stand, please, guys? We're going to continue this walk through Moses to glean everything that God wants us to know in it. And we're going to get most out of it, guys, as we start to say yes to God and do what he's asking us to do, to step into that future with him. And so what I'd like us to do now, guys, I want us to pray for each other where we are. Okay? We're going to do things differently sometimes down here. If you're not used to being prayed for like this, please come over and teas and coffees will be over there. Okay? But what I want us to do is, whoever's with you in your twos or threes, just pray for each other up there. But here's the thing, that for some, it's time to trust God. Man, I spent years trusting myself. It didn't work, guys. I made a complete mess of it. Yeah, I'm still living in the pain of that. Got Jesus now, and he helps me. No, guys, you know, like the midwives, God knows where you are, and he's waiting to bless you. But for some of you, it's time to trust him. Trust what he's asking you to do. Secondly, some, it's time to make that choice to refuse the riches of Egypt. Refuse the distractions of this world. The momentary sin. The momentary pleasures. The things we can build and do in this world that take us away from God. Now, are you ready to turn your back on that and join the people of God and do your bit of the story that one day will end? For others, you know, it's time to step out in faith. Decide to yourself today, who am I going to disciple? Who can I come alongside to teach the Bible, to show them who Jesus is? Mainly all you're doing is telling them your story and showing them bits of scripture. Are you ready to follow Jesus? Even if the way is not clear, even if you don't know all the answers yet, well, welcome to my world. Welcome to Moses' world. Is that you? It's time for others to remember your burning bush moments. When God spoke to you, he speaks mainly out of the Bible. But it might be in a dream. It might be in something you saw. You might have heard that whisper or that shout. But you just know that God has spoken to you. What are you going to do about what he said? What I want us to do now is just to hook up, get in twos or threes, and just pray for each other. If you want to do that and you're not used to it, just pray where you are. Just talk to God. It's very easy. God. God, can you bless this person? Can you give them? Yeah, and let's have a go at that. Even prophesy over each other of what you feel God is saying to them. Can we get in our twos and threes, guys? We're going to do this for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then we're going to go into teas and coffees. Lord's going to play while we do this. That's it, guys. Come on, let's just pray. Pray for each other. Yeah, that's it. Let's pray. And I'm going to pray for Moni Guts over here.